Morning, as I was looking up here, the lights on the Christmas trees and the lighting of the Advent candle. Christmas is really all about the light coming into the world. And it's a good reminder because there is darkness. And it's not just darkness when it gets dark outside, but it's dark sometimes in our lives. And the light speaks into the darkness. The text this morning is John 1:5, where John says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." That word that's translated "overcome" could be the darkness did not grasp it. It did not understand it. It did not extinguish it. All of those are legitimate translations of the Greek word that's there. And the idea is that the light of the word challenged the darkness at the beginning of creation, which is what Jan read in the children's sermon. And now the light challenges the darkness in the story of Jesus. In the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and coming again of Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And with that word darkness, we find a third key word in John's telling of the good news of Jesus: light and life and darkness. There is a darkness in the world that is as real as the light, but not as powerful. And that's one of the differences between the message of Jesus and the message that many in the Greek-speaking world of John thought, because they thought there was a battle, if you will, between light and darkness too, but they thought they were equal. And it's easy for us to begin to think that they are equal. One of the questions I began to ask myself as I was studying this is asking the question, why is there darkness? Where does it come from? Did God create it? The Bible, as in so many different things, does not give a direct answer to that. All it says is that darkness exists. And it acknowledges that there is a battle between light and darkness. And the battle is waged in the world and in our lives. The darkness is hostile to the light. It seeks to eliminate the light, but it cannot, the darkness cannot extinguish the light. If we fast forward in the story of Jesus to the crucifixion, darkness thinks that it has won the day. Darkness reigns on Calvary. But that's looking at it from the wrong perspective. In the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in that dark moment on Calvary, the light shines brighter than ever. And God reigns. Our God is great. Our God is good. Our God is light. And He is stronger than anything and anyone. The darkness is the realm of all that is opposed to the light. There are men who fear the light and run into the darkness, but men and women are not darkness. We retreat to the darkness because we are afraid of the light or because we want to hide something. But we are not the darkness. The darkness is the atmosphere in which the battle between light and dark takes place, which is what Karl Barth says. The darkness is where men and women retreat to hide from the light. The darkness is the realm of ignorance, whether it be passive ignorance or intentional ignorance, that seeks to suppress the truth and refuses to acknowledge the light. The darkness is the Christless life. The light isn't understood. Christ is not understood, apprehended, grasped, defeated, or extinguished by the darkness. There is a struggle, but the light prevails in the end. There is a cosmic battle taking place. Sometimes we forget that. We begin to think it's just the battle that's going on in ourselves, between the darkness and light in us. Or we begin to think that it's the darkness, the struggle between darkness and light in our marriages or in our families or in our church or in our business or in our neighborhood. And it is all those things, but it is also a cosmic battle for the universe. The light will not be denied. The light will not be extinguished. There's a saying that goes, it's always darkest before the dawn. But the truth is, that's not true. As the dawn approaches, there are little glimmers of light. It would be better to say, it's always darkest when it's dark. And it is. And when darkness is dark, it's dark. I remember, I've told this story here. One time, Nancy and I took our kids, when they were little, to one of the caverns. I think it was Carlsbad Caverns. I can't remember. And they take you down into the cavern. And at one point, they turn off all the lights. There is nothing blacker than that. And I can't remember. Maybe Nancy will help me. I don't remember. One of our kids, you know, really got shook by that and said, "Turn on the light." You know, it was as if Caleb was there. Angie, are we still friends? Anybody who has experienced the darkness of depression knows that it's darkest when it's dark. If you know the darkness of discouragement or disease or division, it's dark. If you know the darkness of addiction or alienation, it's really dark. And there's fear in the dark. And it can feel like there is no light. But even as the dawn begins to come, little glimmers of light are seen. And so we need to look for the light. Many of you also know that one of my favorite books is J.R.R. Tolkien's trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. I've probably read them a dozen times over the last 50 years. And I've watched the movies over and over again. I've listened to the books on tape 5 times. And I just love them. In the Soviet Union, atheistic Soviet Union, the Russians woke up to the spiritual implications of this novel long before people in the West. Many read it in what's called samizdat form, a system where one person would hand copy or type a copy of the book, and then they would distribute copies of this illegal book to others. Western critics dismissed it initially as fantasy, escapism, fairy stories, unrealistic. In fact, I would bet, in fact, I know of one person in the congregation who, that's exactly the way they think about it. And, you know, I don't demean them for that. I just pray for them. But the Russians saw what Tolkien had intended to do. Tolkien was a devout Catholic. And what he had written was a deep and unabashed spiritual epic, which talked about the reality of the world from a different perspective. And for the Russians, that's what captured their imagination, because they knew what it was to live in darkness. And the trilogy is an epic spiritual battle between darkness and light. Tolkien's Middle Earth is not a pointless or random world. Though never mentioned, the world of Middle Earth has the fingerprints of the Creator God everywhere in its existence. Creator God who sets purpose and destiny for his creatures. And they have the freedom to accept or reject the Creator's moral order. And so this novel portrays the crisis that happens, that exists, that is caused by those who reject the light and life given them by grace. Rather than escapism, the trilogy is a mirror to us to say, this is what it's like in our world. In God's world and in Tolkien's Middle Earth, even the greatest good can succumb to the darkness of evil and in the process become a shadow of what we were created to be. It's exactly what it's told in the Gospels. The Pharisees wanted to follow God. But they misunderstood who God was. And they actually succumbed to the darkness, all the while pointing to Scripture as their justification of why they made the choices that they made. But in the end, rather than acknowledging the light, they sought to kill the light. In Mark, we read that after one incident of the healing of the man with the withered hand, they go out from that place and they begin to collaborate with their enemies on how to kill Jesus. They've succumbed to the darkness. But nothing, not the Pharisees, not you and me, not this world, nothing was evil to begin with. In the Middle Earth world of Tolkien, Sauron, the Dark Lord, had fallen, and in our world, Lucifer has fallen. Good creatures created by God, but corrupted by power and greed, who serve darkness rather than light. Human beings, you and I, every single one of us, every person not only in this world but in the world, is created in the image of God and created good, very good. But when we reject God's good purpose, sin and death enter into the world and into our lives. The result is a dark realm of corruption and domination and destruction. Whether it be in the dark world of Mordor, or in the world of Nazi concentration camps, or the Soviet Gulag, the killing fields of Cambodia, the tragedies of Darfur, the slaughter in Rwanda, the captivity of sex trade in our day, or the hidden abuse in a family held captive by fear. It's darkness. In The Lord of the Rings, the darkness conditions of the shadow grow and spread. And as the sources of light diminish, it becomes easy to deny the power of the light and see only the power of darkness. The heroes, great and small, are tempted to give in to defeatism, to despair, to loss of hope, and lack of faith. In our world, a growing sense of darkness exists, whether that be personal or global, and it can give rise to the same sense that evil is stronger than good. Darkness is stronger than light, but it isn't so. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. The darkness cannot master it. The darkness can't understand it. It doesn't get it. The light can be hidden. It can be blocked. But it cannot be destroyed. The light is stronger than the darkness. And like John, Tolkien stresses the stark reality of darkness of evil, but at the same time also stresses its ultimate futility. In the darkness and fires of Mordor, Sam suddenly catches a glimpse of a star. And the thought pierces him that in the end, this is what Sam thinks, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty beyond its reach. We need to get a glimpse of the star. And that's part of why we focus on light at Christmas. This is the message of the gospel. The people who dwell in darkness have seen a great light. Yes, there is the reality of evil, but there is also the reality of its ultimate defeat, because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. The ultimate defeat of the darkness is wrapped up not in our ability to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, not in our ability to fix the things around us, but it is all wrapped up in the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and coming again of Jesus. The ultimate defeat of darkness is a result of the light who is coming into the world. Later on in John's telling of the gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, "In the world you have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world." In the darkness of your depression, fear not, because God has overcome that darkness. In the darkness of your discouragement, fear not, because God's light has come into the world and he is overcoming that darkness. The light of God has shone in our lives through the light of Christ. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. And in Ephesians he says, because that light has shone in our lives, we are to shine like stars in the darkness. The way people who live in darkness see the light is that we become the light. We become the light. Jesus didn't just say he was the light of the world. He also said that we are the light of the world. And when light shines in darkness, it dispels the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. The way light dispels the darkness is not by going into the darkness and saying, "Bad darkness, bad darkness, bad darkness." The light doesn't have to do anything like that. All the light has to do is shine in the darkness. Which, as I said last week, is another reason why we as a congregation are not leaving the denomination. Because we have a mission. And the mission is that we are to shine in the darkness. Wherever that darkness exists. We don't leave a family adrift because they are dysfunctional. We engage with that family in order to dispel the darkness in that family. And that's true for a nuclear family. It's true for a congregation. It's true for a denomination. We don't leave a country because the country is in darkness. We shine like lights in the darkness of that country. And we don't leave the world because the world is in darkness. We shine and hold forth the light of Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, may we, individually and collectively together, be the light. Even when we have to go into the heart of darkness. Because you went into the heart of darkness. The light coming into the world. And though the world doesn't understand it, and though the world doesn't get it, the darkness will not overcome the light, because you are the true light. Light in life for all people. And as we give this morning's offering to you, we ask, Lord, that you would enable us as a congregation to continue to shine like light in darkness. Amen.